We go now to European events. Hopes of a compromise being agreed in time for this week's EU summit dipped yesterday as EU sources downplayed prospects of a major breakthrough in the Brexit negotiations. It's understood there remains a significant gap between the EU and the UK on the customs issue. For more, I am joined by Mairead McGuinness, Fine Gael MEP and Vice President of the European Parliament, Philip Webster, former political editor with The Times, and by John Downing, political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining us. Mairead McGuinness, to you first. Both the UK government and the European Union saying yesterday a lot more work would be needed to secure an agreement on the UK's departure. Can it be done in time?
Well, I think the fact that more work is needed would suggest that there isn't sufficient time to wrap everything up by Thursday. But I would expect that the negotiators are trying to maintain the level of intensity of the negotiations with a view that perhaps by Thursday they can say things are moving onwards. And I know that a lot of people are wondering between Friday and Monday what has changed. And really what has changed is that when the negotiators sat down to look at the technicalities of only one element of this withdrawal agreement, which is the customs issue, it became quite clear that it is much more complicated than it sounded in one sentence. They're trying to make sure that it's legally operative, that there can be controls over, and not controls in the sense of we've talked in the past, but at least tracking mechanisms of products coming in and out of Northern Ireland. So I think Barnier has summed it up very well. He doesn't do a roller coaster emotions. He's been level from the very get-go, and his view is, look, we are in negotiations and there's more work to be done. And I suppose that's a good place to be, that the talks haven't broken down.
Yes, and as Tony Connolly, our Europe editor, has been explaining it, the way a customs border would be avoided while allowing Northern Ireland's legal position as part of the UK's custom territory to remain unchanged would be that goods going from Britain to Northern Ireland would attract the EU tariff, but if they were staying in Northern Ireland, then the importer would get a rebate. If they went across the border, the EU tariff would be the correct one, but and Tony used the word mishmash on Morning Ireland. The European position seems to be, or the Barnier interpretation is, that these UK proposals create more problems than they solve, because, as you say, tracking goods, working on the system of rebates would be very, very difficult.
Yeah, look, they create other problems, which is why if you reflect back on the length of time we've been negotiating this, when initially Europe proposed a very straightforward and clear solution, which was a Northern Ireland only backstop, but politically that was rejected. The UK wanted then the all UK backstop. Boris Johnson is new as Prime Minister and he wants something else. And I think the difficulty is that what sounds, as you tried to describe it, sort of clear, but not entirely, is actually very difficult to implement. And we can't put or accept something in the short term which would cause medium to long term problems. So it is why the negotiations are slow and tedious, and they haven't got at all to the issue of consent. As far as I understand it from the weekend, it was really the customs issue that was front and centre of the negotiations. And while they're talking around it and hoping to make progress on that issue alone, there's a huge amount of work left to do.
Yes, and John Downing of the Irish Independent, again to take a Tony Connolly example, sugar being shipped to Northern Ireland from Britain technically means there would be a rebate for the tariff, but what if that sugar formed part of a fizzy drinks consignment going south? How do you unpick that? And that's before you even get to mention chlorinated chicken that might be turned into a sandwich going south.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the big issue, and I think most Irish people actually get it, if you don't have internal borders, it means your external borders have to be as watertight as possible. And all the suggestions that that we've seen, and we've only got a flavour of what's going on in those tunnel talks in Brussels, but they suggest that the Irish border, which would be a de facto EU single market border, would be very porous indeed.
Yeah, and coming to you, Philip Webster, I suppose we're back again to the DUP and the ERG and other people who are very sceptical about any kind of differential as between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. We've seen that Nigel Dodds, speaking to an Italian newspaper of all things, rejected as unrealistic the double customs solution being discussed by the UK and the European Union.
Yes, it looks to me as if Boris Johnson got the backing of the DUP for whatever he discussed with the Taoiseach last week, but that since then there have to have been further concessions. And what we don't know is whether the DUP have gone along with those further concessions that have been made over the weekend. So there's this amazing cliffhanger coming on Saturday with the House of Commons meeting for only the second time on a Saturday. I'm old enough to have been there at the first one in 1981 for the Falklands debate. But this one, we don't know what's going to happen. Will there be a deal to go before the Commons? If there is a deal, will it be backed? If it's backed, will it have a second referendum tied to it? So there's a great air of excitement at Westminster today, but nobody at all knows what's going to happen, of course.
Yes, and Mairead, DUP MP Jim Shannon quoted as saying, if we're not being treated as the same as England, we're not going to accept it. So how do you get around that?
Well, there you are. I mean, we've been going round in circles since this referendum was held. And the truth of it is, we go back to what happened at the time of the referendum. Nobody except our then Prime Minister, Enda Kenny, mentioned, or the Taoiseach, rather, Enda Kenny, mentioned Northern Ireland. And we have been trying ever since to square a circle. And we had made progress on it. I mean, comments over the weekend from the DUP are not a surprise, but I think they won't really influence what's happening around the negotiations. If a way can be found to do what is almost the impossible, to have Northern Ireland in two customs territories effectively, then those who are at the table are best placed to find that solution. In terms of timing and to have a debate in the House of Commons on Sasha on a deal, I think that would be a miracle if it were to happen, and I still sometimes believe in those things, but I would be more cautious. I think there is not sufficient time to do the nitty-gritty that is required for the heads of state and the leaders of Europe on Thursday to give a nod to a deal. What my hope would be is that there would be sufficient progress for them to say this is going in a direction which is positive, and we need to allow it just to do that. So that would be my hope. However, there's one caveat I would say of all of this. If you look at Boris Johnson's numbers in the House of Commons, and also the Brexit Party, which are, you know, clipping at his heels, their objective is no deal. And within the ERG, there is a huge volume of support for no deal. So, you know, you have to look at that in terms of, if there is an agreement, what might or would it get voted through? What would be the numbers on that? So, you know, getting an agreement on customs may be tricky and difficult if it were to happen. Getting any deal through the House of Commons, you know, there's a big question mark over that.
Yeah, but on that one, Philip, it would appear that people trust Boris Johnson in a way maybe that they weren't prepared to trust Theresa May. It was very interesting watching Jacob Rees-Mogg on the Sophie Ridge programme on Sky yesterday morning saying, look, sometimes in politics you have to eat your words. And he quoted Churchill as saying, well, actually the nourishment from eating words can be quite nourishing.
Yes. And of course, Jacob Rees-Mogg has got a job now. And it's amazing what the old ministerial car does for your resolve when it comes to big decisions in Parliament. But look, it's certain that some of the people who voted down Theresa May's deal are ready to back a Johnson deal if he gets one, because he was elected Tory leader on the basis that he would deliver. And I think quite a lot of them will have to eat their words. There remains a hardcore of ERG members who I doubt would vote for anything short of no deal. His hope is, of course, that they will be more than balanced out by Labour MPs who are just desperate to get this deal, get anything through, because of the trouble they're getting from Leave supporters in their own constituencies. It is very tight. My own view is that if he gets a deal that he feels he can present to the House of Commons on Saturday morning, it will probably scrape through, because I think most of the 21 Tories who deserted him last time would come back into the fold in order to get a deal. There's no doubt they're scared of the Brexit Party. They're scared of going into an election in November. And I think there would be an election in November if he doesn't get a deal and we go to no deal almost by default. I think there would be an election, and in that election, the Tory party would have the Brexit Party snapping at their heels. So I think things will give. I think Jacob Rees-Mogg's interview was extremely interesting yesterday. I think quite a lot of the ERG members are in that camp as well.
Yeah, and do you think he would get the necessary votes if that were required from a few Labour people, Labour MPs, who would be supportive of a deal?
I think, I mean, they say there are 18-odd Labour MPs who would back a deal if they believe it does the right thing on workers' rights and things like that. They do want a deal, and they've been saying all along the view of the electorate has to be upheld. There is a big division in the Labour Party at the top at the moment as to whether they should be going full-throated for a second referendum under any circumstances. But there is a view that there will be enough Labour MPs if the deal he brings back it can be set as a reasonable deal. And if most of the Tory rebels seem to be going on board, I think those Labour rebels would also fall in behind the deal. But there's a long way to go.
Indeed, it's going to be a very long week. Coming back to you, John Downing, Philip talked about an election coming up in the UK quite soon. You're reporting today that there's every possibility that Taoiseach might bow to pressure internally in Fine Gael for an election here before Christmas in the event that the deal is struck.
Yes, if there is a Brexit resolution, the Taoiseach will have some very difficult decisions to make. There is a very strong moot within Fine Gael that an early election would be far better for them than waiting out until next year, going through all the problems on health and housing yet again, being in office but not necessarily in power, and all the rest of that. So I was very struck by one senior Fine Gael person who said to me, if there's a deal on Brexit, then the Taoiseach will have a very serious decision to make. Many TDs believe their chances will be better in an early vote, probably even next month. So big stuff for the Taoiseach. He's first big electoral test.
What do you think of that idea, Mairead McGuinness?
Well, I haven't given it much thought. I'm just through European Parliament elections. But I think all political parties are on election footing because of the numbers game that is in Loyal Éireann. John Downey is closer to perhaps some of the senior colleagues, and he's quoting some of them there. And it will be a decision for the Taoiseach only. I would still think it's more likely next year than late this year. That's my own personal and political view, regardless of what people are saying. But perhaps if Brexit, the deal gets done and there's a mood of optimism and relief that it has been done, there may be political pressure to just have an election, but I have no insight into
right.
it. I have
well,
no knowledge
somebody,
of it, and I'm just interested in John Downey's analysis.
Somebody who might have insight into it is Minister of State Finian McGrath, Independent Alliance TD for Dublin Bay North. Has the Taoiseach spoken to you and colleagues about the prospect of an earlier election?
Good morning, Sean. No, absolutely. The position of the Taoiseach up to recently was that we'd all like to see a May election 2020, and my own preference is that it's next May. I think Brexit is too important for our country to be playing games when we're talking about politics and elections at this time. And I think some of my colleagues, I've seen it over the weekend, are getting ahead of themselves, assuming that we have a deal on Brexit and all the talking of an election. So I think that people want to focus on the only game in town at the moment is Brexit.
Yes,
and we're trying to work very hard to resolve that. And all this talk about an election, I don't think is helping the situation. I would also like to see a very important point, Sean, which you should ask as well, is I'd like to see Fianna Fáil, if they would clearly state their position in relation to the election, would they agree to have an election May 2020?
Well, I think Micheál Martin has stated his position clearly. He doesn't want it this year, doesn't expect it this year, and he's talking in terms of it being a stroke if the Taoiseach went for an election before Christmas.
But equally, he's linked it to the Brexit debate, and I think, Sean, that it's very easy to say, I agree with the points that we need to deal with the finance bill and the social welfare bill and Brexit over the next couple of weeks. And as far as I'm concerned, we don't have time for election, and we should be focusing on next May. But I'd like to see a clear statement coming from Fianna Fáil and saying, if they would agree to next May 2020, then we'd have real stability. Then we could get on over the next couple of months, focus on the finance bill, the social welfare bill, Brexit, it, I could get on with investing more in disability services, and the Independent Alliance could go roll out more projects in their own particular constituency. We'd like to get on with the job, and but we'd like to know where the opposition stand in relation. Will they agree to say, yes, it's next May, and then we can move along all together?
Well, surely what you really need in the first instance is the Taoiseach to say that.
Well, the Taoiseach has always said his first preference was to have it next May 2020. And that is my position, and we've been very clear on this.
When you get into the Cabinet room tomorrow, will you be putting it up to him?
Sorry, Sean, I missed that.
I'm saying when you get into the Cabinet room tomorrow, will you be putting it up to him?
Absolutely. We have regular discussions on all sorts of issues. But can I say our priority this week is in relation to Brexit. That is the priority. We have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of technical legal issues on the rebates, on the customs union, on consent.
The other thing, though,
that people want us to resolve.
John Downing, I'm looking at a tweet from Harry McGee, who writes on politics of the Irish Times, saying, all very fine if the deal is done, but if it's not, and there isn't an agreement arising out of the conversations in Liverpool last week, well, the Taoiseach might be seen as having been fairly naive and bought a dead parrot from Boris Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, it's perilous going out there in these type of situations generally. It's even more perilous when you're dealing with somebody like Boris Johnson, who blows in the wind, who says one thing one day and the opposite some days later. But I think he probably gains more kudos than he loses in the longer term because of to be seen not to have made an effort to pull something out, even at 2 minutes to midnight, given what's at stake for the economy, for jobs, for the North piece, and the whole lot. I think he had no choice but to be seen to be making every effort.
Sorry, Maria, do you want a quick word on that?
Yeah, just on that point, I think that Friday was very important because the relationship issue is crucial and it gave a political signal, a joint statement to the negotiators to get down and get at it. So I think it was very significant, apart from its impact on what date an election will be. But I still would urge people to be a little bit cautious about rushing our fences. Because, as I said, only one issue was talked about over the weekend and we didn't get very far on the absolute detail. So to get everything rushed through in a short period of time, I don't think that can happen. And therefore, I still think the Taoiseach's suggestion of a May election is more realistic than a November one.
OK, and last question to you, John Halligan. I'm just wondering about... Sorry, I beg your pardon, Feeling McGrath. Well, actually, I'm about to ask you.
I was expecting that question, Sean.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, and forgive my slip of the tongue, but however, I'm wondering, is one of the reasons why you're a bit wary of an election is because, you know, there's the ructions in your grouping last week. John Halligan, your fellow Minister of State, threatening to leave the Alliance because you were claiming you're mopping up all the credit for elements of the budget.
Well, first of all, Sean, can I say three things on that issue? That I was a little bit disappointed to read and hear it on your programme, but an internal matter all over the media. And yes, there was a difference of opinion, but can I say very categorically, there's no row or no split in the Independent Alliance. As far as I'm concerned, we're all working very, very closely together in relation to the budget, in relation to Brexit. The Independent Alliance stepped up to the plate, delivered when other independents and other parties ran a mile away for providing stability for the government in the light of Brexit. And can I say, we're all working very well in the Independent Alliance. I was talking to John myself on a number of occasions last week, and everything is focused on getting the job done and delivering our policies.
Okay, well, look, we leave it at that. Finian McGrath, Mairead McGuinness, John Downing, thank you all for being with us. And also my thanks to Philip Webster, who left us a little earlier. We'll be talking about Syria and Turkey and the Kurds after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.